and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
And a fish fucking movie just won an Oscar. Fish fucking movie just won an Oscar.
That was the original song from...
from Shape of Water.
From Shape of Water. That's by Guillermo del Toro. As sung by Jen Stansfield.
Mm-hmm. And an Oscar for it next year.
Yeah. That's a movie we haven't seen yet. But...
Yeah, we just watched the Oscars. So many movies we haven't seen.
No, we don't watch any movies.
Haven't seen The Shape of Water. Haven't seen Call Me By Your Name. Lady Bird.
Haven't seen Three Billboards.
Haven't seen Three Billboards. Haven't seen whatever that fat suit Gary Oldman movie is.
Oh,
Churchill.
Yeah, you know, I'm never going to
see that.
I'm never going to see it. I don't.
You know what? No.
You know, there was a, the closest I ever got to seeing a movie, that was when we saw The King's Speech.
Oh, yeah. I liked The King's Speech.
I mean, I liked it too, but it was a.
We also saw that Abraham Lincoln movie.
Lincoln. Yeah, well, that's because you're a Lincoln fan.
I am.
Fan.
You know what? That was a fucking boring movie.
Yeah, well, it's fucking Lincoln.
Yeah, we haven't seen Phantom Thread.
I'd rather watch Phantom Menace.
I'm sure I would like Phantom Thread, but I feel like it's one of those movies where it's just like some eccentric genius guy who treats people like garbage.
We know what it is.
By Daniel Day-Lewis, who is an eccentric genius guy who treats people like garbage.
You know, like what I gotta do is I gotta like one day... One time, you know, at some point, just be like, okay, I'm just going to watch all these P.T. Anderson movies. You know, maybe I'll watch a bunch of these kind of movies, you know, and eventually I'll become the most...
Film man ever.
Film man ever. You know, I'll see all the movies.
You know what? We still haven't seen, like, Oscar nominees from last year.
We haven't seen Oscar nominees from, like,
before.
For, like, the past decade.
Yeah. There's, like, because there was a time when we saw, like, a whole bunch of them when we first got out here. I feel like there was two or three Oscars where we saw, like, all of them.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like there was a point where you and I would see a lot of movies, but we were seeing, like, just random shit.
Oh, all the stuff.
You know, we would find a way to get to the theater more often than not.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened, but we just kind of...
I don't know.
Let it...
Comics?
Comics, wrestling, life... Podcasts.
We also didn't have like anything at that time. We didn't have Hulu. We didn't have Netflix. We didn't have Amazon Prime. We didn't have a TV that could stream shit.
No.
We didn't have anything that could stream shit.
No.
Except the computer.
No, yeah, that's true.
So that was back then.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
But,
so I'm like, I still haven't seen like, Spotlight.
Spotlight's up on Netflix.
I still haven't seen Dallas Buyers Club. It's in my Netflix queue.
We know what the deal is. We've talked about this before, where last week too. It's like we have to be like a certain mindset to want to see certain things. You know, it's hard for me just to turn and be like, I'm just gonna watch Dallas Buyers Club. You know, which, you know,
sure.
You know, very an emotional movie. You know, something I'm certain I would, you know, appreciate the craft for.
Sure.
You know and whatnot, but.
Well, we did see. We saw Dunkirk.
We watched Dunkirk last night.
We also watched Oscar-nominated for adapted screenplay, The Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
No.
I thought I was going to like it.
No, yeah. It was a shitty movie. And it sucks because I've read the book that's based on.
Yeah.
And
you've seen The Room.
We've seen The Room plenty of times. We've watched The Room without people. Yeah. By ourselves, because I remember the first time we ever watched
on Adult Swim.
It was on Adult Swim, and then we actually saw it in Boston, and I believe we've done that at least like three times.
Yeah, we have.
And it's a great experience to watch The Room and everything like that. But the movie, you know, that's about this book that Greg Sestero, who played Mark in the movie, wrote about it. And in the movie, the book's actually very interesting.
Yeah.
I think the book is really good.
Yeah.
In terms of just telling a story about a movie that, you know, and telling it, just kind of explaining this whatever was going on. And I think the movie just didn't hit it for me.
Yeah.
And
I would also have to say, James Franco's brother is a terrible actor.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
He's really bad. And you're just kind of like, oh, this isn't good.
Just a bland actor, you know.
But I will say, big ups to Paul Scheer for doing Angry Man very well.
Paul Scheer.
I've never seen Paul Scheer in a role where he's angry before, and I was like, holy fuck, man.
Yeah, because Paul Scheer is in it. He plays like one of the DP of the movie, and he, you know, he has a lot of scenes where he just gets frustrated with Tommy Wiseau and
starts yelling at him.
And he starts yelling at him, but like in a way. I was telling you this, like, he was on Paul Scheer was on Marc Maron, and he was talking about how when he was younger, he'd get into fights and stuff like that. And, you know, if you've seen Paul Scheer, you know, he just looks like a.
He's a skinny guy.
You know, it doesn't look very
intimidating.
You know, it just doesn't come off that way. But there was some fire.
Yeah.
I want that in a movie. So I want that I want that somewhere else where I want to watch it. And I want to be like, fuck yeah. And I want him to like,
yeah,
be fucking just take it.
Yeah, I want to see intense anger from Paul Scheer in some sort of movie.
I want to be
a serious role.
I want him to be like a heavy, like in a Bob movie, like a boss.
Not even that. I want him to be like, you know, playing a role where, I don't know, someone's kid goes missing, and he gets fucking pissed off about it.
Oh, he'd be like Harrison Ford or something, like trying to find a kid, like Witness, starring Paul Scheer.
The media won't leave the family alone, and he's like the brother of the mom.
No.
His kid went missing, and he just like goes out and just starts throwing news cameras.
Just throwing them, like, ah! Yeah. He's like,
get out of here! What's wrong with you? You vermin! Like, something like that. Just starts,
vermin.
Like, yeah.
I like that. No.
Like his niece or something.
No. He's got. I mean, maybe he's done other roles like this. Maybe there's other stuff that
I've
been in.
I've never seen him do anything like.
Yeah, like on TV or something.
I was very impressed.
He's never been. It's because it's never been like that on the League either. Yeah, like, no, you know, it's always strictly comedy. You know, the League. The thing about the movie is like, look, this Disaster Artist movie. Like, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, there's characters, there's people, there's actors in there that people that I really like. Like Paul Scheer's in there. Jason Mantzoukas is in there. Which I think for the first time I've seen him in something where he is not
fucking creepy.
Fucking creepy, wild. Yeah, whatever. I mean, he's just kind of like,
it's him and Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
Hannibal Buress is his like business partner in that movie.
Yeah, and so there's that, and
Seth Rogen's in that movie.
Yeah, and I like
Diane's in that movie.
Yeah, I like Seth Rogen and stuff. I'm actually a big Seth Rogen fan.
He was pretty good in this one. He was just like the exasperated guy.
Yeah.
Just trying to do a damn job.
No, yeah, then that's the thing, and I just you know, it's just Tommy was James Franco was Tommy was so his impression was accurate, but it also was like I'm watching a guy pretend to be Tommy Wiseau, not this is Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, kind of like when you watched if you watched Ray.
Yeah.
When you watched Jamie Foxx as Ray.
I've never seen Ray.
There's a moment, and I remember I was sitting in the theater and I watched this movie. There's a moment, it's probably like halfway in, when he's just, I don't even know what he was doing. He literally became Ray Charles.
Yeah.
That he was the perfect embodiment of this character.
Right.
It wasn't an actor playing a part.
Yeah.
And this is the Disaster Artist. It is an actor playing a part.
Yeah.
And it is very obvious.
It's very obvious. And it's especially if you've, here's the thing, if you've also seen The Room as many times as, you know, we have, and, you know, seen Tommy Wiseau in action being Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
You know, this weird guy. Like, it just doesn't feel right. And yeah, and the movie, and here's the thing too. I keep saying here's the thing. Alec Baldwin. The way that the script ends, and just the way that the story ends, like it's such a fucking, it just feels like such a cop out.
Well, it is, because it's a Hollywood ending. It's like everything was great and everyone is happy.
Everybody loves it. Like, not everybody loves it, but everybody's like, oh, well, there's this acceptance.
You
and he gets
still
this
have
acceptance.
This really weird guy floating around who won't tell anybody where he's from or where he has gotten
his
money.
He doesn't have to. He's not obligated to do that.
He lies about how old he is. To even his friends.
Yeah.
He's fucking weird. He's kind of an asshole to everybody.
Yeah. He's just a jerk, and it's like, well, what? Yeah. And then in the end, it's like, oh, everybody loves you, Tommy, and it's just...
No,
and it's like, no, nobody should like him.
But the only way they got the okay to do this is to say, oh, everybody loves you, Tommy.
Yeah.
Because, no, not everybody loves you, Tommy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not how this goes.
It is. I really feel like a lot of it is
just fucking weird.
They're just putting it out. Yeah, I feel like that the way that they did the movie is that, you know, and to get this movie out, it's, you know, so Tommy, you know, it looks like Tommy Wiseau did something great, you know? Yeah. And I mean, yeah, he brought this movie to the zeitgeist, and people watch it ironically, and they have a great time.
Yeah.
That is 100% the truth. I will, as somebody who has had many laughs watching the thing, you know, it's.
But it's not because it's a good movie.
But it's because it's fucking.
It's something that.
Bad.
When they're like, oh, The Room's going to get a theatrical wide release, I'm like, don't do that.
That's what that's, yeah.
You should never see that movie as a straight movie.
Yeah.
You have to watch it with a bunch of other assholes throwing shit at the screen
and yelling out things
and yelling out lines.
Like, that should be a movie that's only up at midnight, and you should only show it at midnight or in like an evening screening. And it's like, or we're gonna have all this fun, we're gonna do this. Yeah. It's like, no, and don't.
I know they do the midnight stuff for Rocky Horror Picture Show. You can enjoy Rocky Horror Picture Show without all the weird shit that goes along with it.
Yeah,
because the music in that is great.
Yeah,
and so is Tim Curry. He's amazing in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But The Room is not that.
No.
The Room is something you can only enjoy.
Yeah, no, it's
with bullshit.
Yeah, it's and this movie just kind of it just didn't feel like it should have. And it was going to be, because it's a story about a wacky movie and you want to make Hollywood endings. I mean, I definitely would not have, I can't understand why it was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd never read the book. You did.
The book was great. I think the book is really good. I think
just got the best adapted screen.
And there's a lot of stuff in there that, like, just is really interesting about Greg, and just interesting about the production of this movie, and just a lot of different facets in there that, you know, for somebody, again, who's seen the movie, has experienced this phenomenon or whatever. You know, learning more about it from this perspective, it's just very engrossing.
Yeah.
But as a movie, it just, God, I was disappointed. And I was really actually excited, because I was like, oh my God, they're going to do this.
Yeah, I was actually excited to see it. And then we watched it, and I was like, glad we didn't see this in the theater.
I would have been so upset. I've just been disappointed. Yeah. Disappointed is what I am.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I saw it on my couch. At least that was better.
And you know, to that point, but you know, being positive, coming out of it in some sort of positive way, there were some good performances in there. There's some things in there. There's actually like just some little moments too that I liked. You know, like I thought the girl that played Lisa.
Yeah.
Did some things in there that were like very much like the girl that played Lisa, like just the way that she moved, like her face and everything like that. Like, I thought that was really, just stuff that was really clever and just interesting to, you know, because it's acting. People are doing a good job and understanding the, what's going, you know, what they're portraying. So, that's my take on it. I mean, if you watch it and you're just like, you know, you've never seen The Room, I don't think, you know, you might just appreciate it because it's a crazy movie and there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on. And if you've never read the book and you've never seen The Room, you know, and you just leave it at that, then you probably really like it.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe how a lot of people probably did it. A lot of people that voted for it to be nominated probably did, because none of those people, I bet a lot of those people ain't going to go out to see The Room.
Right.
And a lot of them ain't reading that book. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, maybe they did. I don't know. I just feel that it just got nominated based on, you know, this story, you know, and just kind of bringing it. I don't know.
And if you do want to see The Room, don't just watch it. Don't just like sit
don't
down.
Subject yourself to that, because it's not a good movie.
Don't be like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch this movie. Man, I've heard such great things about it, and just watch it like you would watch any other movie. Don't do that.
Because you won't like it.
Don't do it.
You won't have any fun with it. You'll just be like, this is awful.
Your biggest asshole friend, find a screening of it at midnight, even if you don't know what people say.
Or just watch it at home, or just do something.
If you just see it at home, just like, or see it at in a screening.
Yeah.
You don't have to know what people are going to say. You'll catch on pretty quick.
Yeah.
And you'll have a lot more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's just, God, that fucking movie.
It's a mess.
What kind of money, Denny?
Scotchka.
Scott. Yeah, just all those wacky parts in there.
Weird shit going on. But yeah.
So
we did that. We saw the Oscars.
We watched Dunkirk.
We did watch
Dunkirk. Did you like, I liked Dunkirk.
I liked it. It was good. Actually, I really liked that it wasn't 4 hours.
Yeah, I was surprised how short it was.
It was a nice, short, tight movie. There wasn't It was actually very beautiful, like beautiful shot movie.
Yeah, well, one
cinematography.
No, did it win cinematography?
I know it was up for it.
No, the Brett Blader won cinematography.
Oh yeah, okay.
It was
up for it though.
Yeah, the sound mixing won it though. The sound mixing is great because I mean you're talking war and just you know war sounds and just everything that's going on in there. Like it's a very minimal movie in terms of dialogue.
Yeah, not
on purpose.
Really say a lot. Yeah, and it's done that way on purpose.
Totally.
And it's also, I think, something that I really, really liked about Dunkirk was you still had the heroic story, you know, of Dunkirk, which is, and this is not a spoiler, this is history. It is the British forces on a beach, boats come and save them and get them off the beach, take them back to Britain, right?
Yeah.
That's the story. That happens in this story.
Yeah.
But I think... if it was an American movie, there would be a lot more like overcoming and like stabbing and like very big over the top overtures of like mowing down all sorts of Germans. You know, this is just a very, we're fucking stuck.
We gotta get out.
Here comes some people. They have some shit to deal with, but it's not like I have to, you know, stab all the Germans in the face.
Yeah.
And they got them off.
There are very few Germans in this movie.
I don't think you see one, do you? You see them in the plane, maybe.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
I really don't see them. They're kind of just like off.
Yeah,
in the distance.
Yeah,
you see there's some French soldiers and stuff because they're also screwed.
Yeah,
and stuck on the beach. But there's just a lot of, you know. What are these guys going to do?
Yeah, no, it's really good, yeah. And I would definitely recommend checking that out. I mean, Oscars, you know, Get Out won Best Screenplay.
It did,
which was awesome.
Which is cool.
And it's not so much. Look, Get Out is not my favorite movie from this year by far. I mean, it's a good movie, and it's very.
I kind of want to see it with the alternate ending.
Yeah,
well, it's an alternate ending.
Was a sad ending
to it. Yeah. And apparently that was supposed to be the original ending. I have not seen it.
It's just an interesting movie.
Yeah,
interesting movie from an interesting source.
Yeah,
from Jordan Peele, who you would not think. I mean, you could. I could totally see that because he's a weird dude.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, just watching a sketch. I mean, there's just the guy's got a million things going on in his head, and you know, he worked on something that it's kind of like, you know. Just you just want to work on something that you feel, and he felt that, and he did it, and people made it, and people supported it, and
it's great.
Hell yeah, man! You know, and it's yeah. I mean, friggin' Peele from Key and Peele won an Oscar.
Yeah,
I mean that's
the guy
awesome.
Who used to have all the wigs.
The wigs.
Key and Peele should have won like all the awards for wigs.
Yes.
Key
and Peele's a really good show.
It's such a great show. I love it so much.
Key and Peele's a really good show.
Every time I'd watch, I'd just be like, the wigs.
Oh, God, the wigs.
All the wigs.
There
are so many wigs.
There's just a lot of good, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. So and good. He won, and, you know, I thought that was awesome. And I mean, yeah, it's not my favorite movie, but it's a very interesting movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just very, I guess it's kind of cool that, I mean, let's put it this way. It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, it definitely won an Oscar.
It's a horror movie that won an Oscar, and that really stands out in terms of, you know, okay, well, what else can we do that's like this that we can put out there that people...
It's so different.
Yeah.
Than other things that win Oscars. Because, like, if you look at what typically won an Oscar, and you put Get Out next to Call Me By Your Name... What do you think is going to win that Oscar? It's going to be Calling Me By Your Name because it's beautifully shot. It's coming of age. It's got, you know, sex and drama and blah, 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 blah. But.
Well, just let me say it's basically what Oscar bait.
It's Oscar bait. 100% Oscar bait.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that a film like Get Out would have ended up like Oscar bait. But it really, I think in terms of creating a discussion and just creating just. Buzz and making people just making it aware or anything like that. It's just, it's wild.
I think too, because Jordan Peele said something when he was talking. He was like, I tried to write this script 20 different times.
Yeah.
And I stopped every single time because I just didn't think people would let this happen.
Yeah.
But I kept at it.
Yeah. Because there's,
that's a fucking inspiration, especially to somebody like myself who is a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Who you're like, oh, this is weird. No one's going to get this, but you still want to do it because it's just stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And that's really great to hear somebody say, like, you know, I just kept putting this thing down, but I kept picking it back up.
Yeah.
Because he knew.
And even to the point where, I mean, Jordan Peele is quite prolific,
yeah.
You know, in terms of the stuff, you know, comedy that he's done and just being super talented. And, you know, you think a lot where people like that are just gifted, you know, there's, yeah. It just, things just happen for them. You know, you kind of just take that, they take, you know, they take it for granted that it's just like, well, I'm Jordan Peele and I've had this success with this TV show. And, you know, I've had, you know, people really like me to sing. So why not? I'm going to do this and people are going to love it. It's like, no, I mean, he struggled with it.
Yeah.
You know, and he said this, I mean, he probably have said this up and down the board and, you know, talking about this movie. And I heard, you know, I've heard a little, you know, heard pieces of it here and there, just, you know, about like, I go to somebody with this and somebody's not, why would somebody want to make something like this? Cause it's so drastically different.
Yeah.
You know, is. Than a lot of films that, you know, really any films that you'll see out there, you know, and that, you know, for it to be as, renowned, you know, I guess, one more try to get a word, regard how they regarded as a yeah. as was this Oscar season, you know, just award season. That's awesome. So
yeah,
yeah, congratulations to him. And you know, because I know he listens to the show.
Of course he does. Yeah, I'm listening to
it
right now.
He's like, oh man, I better
with his wife Chelsea Peretti,
yeah, who another you know, fantastic performer and comedian writer. Stuff like that, writer. Yeah, so there's, you know, some cool people doing stuff, man. That's what I like, you know. Yeah. It's not always the same, as long as it's not the same people all the time, which it is. Yeah. That's what it feels.
That's
like
what
something
we should write a movie.
Yeah, we should write a movie.
We should
write an adaptation of our book this week.
No one wants an adaptation of this book.
No, they don't.
I didn't. Okay, we'll talk about when we get there. But this book fucking sucks.
Yeah, well, that's why
you
our
heard it here first.
That's why our show is called Worst Collection Ever.
It sure is.
Because we figured it out.
Yeah, we should talk about it now.
Yeah, so let's take our break. We'll come back. We'll talk about our book for this week.
Kryptonite is
the dream given form.
Kryptonite is
primitive culture.
Kryptonite is
Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Kryptonite is
the beat you can dance to.
Kryptonite is
a big fat woman with thighs the size of a hippo's.
Kryptonite is
a podcast featuring two guys talking crap about sci-fi fantasy. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or even Twitter at Kryptonite235. Just look for Kryptonite. It's Kryptonite spelt with an A.
All right, we're back here in Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is Infinity Inc. number 22 from January 1986. This is the second Infinity Inc. we've done on this show. Yeah, I know you're not a fan.
growl.
And we're also, here's the thing, we're also in the middle of Crisis.
Yes, it's a crossover.
And
hard because I feel like I'm not following like Crisis and...
Have you ever read Crisis?
I know, I've never read it.
We have.
I mean, I've read the synopsis of Crisis and like the Wikipedia.
You should read Crisis.
I know I should. We have it.
Yeah.
I should read it. It's one of those things I should get like reading. But for me, this is just like, and now everybody, we're plopped down in the middle of a story.
Right.
Which makes things difficult for me.
I know. I feel like with Infinity Inc., like we're kind of one for one because the other one was about like, something about movies or something, and that was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, you know, I figured, you know, I look at the cover and sometimes
it's got a big lizard on it.
Well, yeah, the cover, because when
who
you look
want a big giant lizard
when you look at the cover on somebody's books, you know, you get kind of, you know, like, oh, okay, this is going to be interesting, we'll mess around here, you know. And so that's what we did, and you know, here we are. So
yeah, it's got Dr. Midnight on the cover.
Yes, Lady Dr. Midnight.
Our Man.
But the son of Our Man.
But it's the son of his.
It's a really ugly costume.
We've read about him before.
No, that's a different Our Man.
Oh, yeah, because everybody's from different...
Because there's like a million Our Men. And he's like the second one.
Is this Nuke... What's his name?
Nuclon. Soon to be Atom Smasher.
She is...
Fury.
Obsidian. Only their heads are here.
Well, the way
for
that...
some reason, and then they're watching Dr. Midnight and the son of Our Man get sucked into.
Well, no, here's
quicksand,
what. Okay.
Also fighting a giant lizard.
Well, no, what's happened? Okay, so basically,
I mean, kind of.
Well, this way they look. Okay, so the way it is basically you have a giant, looks like a giant Gila monster.
Yeah.
Behind Our Man and. He is standing behind Dr. Midnight, whose costume is all disheveled and, yeah, you know.
She's had a hard go.
And she's, you know, and he looks like he's kind of like, woo, you know, but he's, and it looks like Dr. Midnight is sinking. I don't know if he is so much.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Are they like, the perspective is such that these are boulders that we're looking at from boulders.
Maybe.
And they're like pushed up against
It's a weird perspective.
Quicksand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
And then at the top you have Nuklon and Fury and Obsidian, and they're just, their heads are just looking down.
Yeah, it's just their heads.
But they're not.
Also, some of their shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
Strangely enough, it wasn't just, they didn't just draw a head. They draw a head. Drew a head, a neck, and some bit of shoulders.
Yeah, for some reason they just
didn't. Then they just cut them off.
Well, I know, but maybe I think with regard to Obsidian, like Obsidian. I mean, you know what his head looks like, but
yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
But yeah, so and it's a Todd McFarlane cover, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, and I would also like to say that Nuklon has Seamus hair.
Yes, he does.
He's got a nice red mohawk.
He's got a sweet mohawk. Yeah.
Also, one of those cowls that only goes up to the ears.
Yeah.
When you got a sweet mohawk, you got to show it off.
I don't understand. Those,
no one understands.
I have never understood the cowls that just either cover like your eyes or you just kind of go around your face and just mm-hmm. square it up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's always weird to see people like have that on, but then like, you know, how do they remove it? Like, how does it kind of just hang? Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
Does it give you a headache? Because I'm assuming it's very stiff elastic.
Yeah, well, same. It's got to stay on your face, you know?
It's got to be elastic. And
it's always frustrated me that I've always wanted to make wrestlers mm-hmm. in my game with that sort of thing. And they never put that in there. And it's like, that's what most superheroes all look like.
Yeah.
Like, even Superman had that going for a minute when he was the red and blue Superman. Like, yeah. It's frustrating. So, yeah. So that's what we're doing here. We're doing Infinity Inc. in the middle of crisis. Yay. Mm-hmm. And the story is called Uncivil Wars.
Yeah.
And right off the bat, we're...
So many characters.
We're right off the bat, we're in the middle of... basically, we're in the middle of crisis. Like, we're in between... I could actually tell you because it does say here. I want to do this because I want to do this right. So we're in between, like, crisis issues 4 and 5. And
this is like right after Green Lantern's wedding.
Apparently, yes.
But like Justice Society Green Lantern.
Yeah, so Alan Scott just got married to Harlequin.
Yeah.
But not Harley Quinn.
No.
Like some chick dressed like a jester.
Yeah.
And then, but we're here, we're looking on, they're on the Monitor ship because basically, you know, the crisis is happening. All the Earths are being, you know, the antimatter wave is coming through the universe and it's eating everything. And then, you know, basically they have to merge everything into one.
Yeah. And that's everybody from all these Earths are here. That they're here, but they got brought here. And so we've got Red Tornado with a coloring error because his trunks and leg.
That's not Red Tornado.
This isn't Red Tornado.
That's Jem, the son of Saturn.
Jesus fucking Christ. He looks like Red Tornado.
He does, actually. I've mistaken Jem for Red Tornado a few times.
Okay.
And it's so kind of...
Jem.
Yeah. Jam!
John Jones. We got the Creeper.
You got the Creepers there.
You got Obsidian. You got that Green Lantern
Jade.
Girl.
Brainwave Jr. Brainwave Jr.
Brainwave Jr. More like, what's her face?
Fury.
Yeah. Wonder Woe.
Wonder Woe. Silver Scarab. Hector Hall.
Okay. You've got Starfire, you've got Nightwing in his 70s costume.
Yeah.
You have...
Star-Spangled Boy, Man.
Power Girl.
Power Girl.
I don't know who this is.
Halo.
Halo. I don't know who that is.
Firehair.
Who?
Firehair.
No.
I'm not kidding. I'm
glad they only draw him in here and he goes away.
He was a redheaded boy that was raised by Indians and they became named him Firehair.
Oh, that's not racist at all. What is this guy?
That's the Golden Age Adam.
Okay.
And Northwind.
And Northwind.
I know them all. And then there's like a piece of gum in the middle here.
Yeah, there's just like a big giant lump of cotton candy.
What are we looking at? What is that?
I don't know. What is it supposed to be?
It's somebody just having a big hunk of gum. It was like... Bleh.
Yeah. So they brought all these people here.
Yeah, so they just got all zapped here.
Yeah.
And because it's like, from a previous crisis... issue,
and then they have to figure out who everybody is.
Yeah, apparently nobody knows who anybody is.
Well, because they're like, oh my gosh, look at all these heroes and stuff, and we see people that weren't in the original cover because there's like a pink glop.
Well, here's the thing.
Who's
that
pink glop man?
That's Plasmus. He is. So here's the thing, because we also have villains.
Yes, here. They've also been zapped here.
Because we have villains. So Teen Titans villain Plasmus is here.
Uh huh.
He is just standing around.
Solomon Grundy is here.
Yeah.
We've got Dr. Fate is here.
You got some of the
I don't know who that guy is.
The Fuck, was it Challengers of the Universe or Unknown?
You've got Batman shows up. Batgirl is here.
Batman doesn't do anything.
Batman's literally in this panel, just in this panel. And they're like, oh, he died 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So on whatever.
But on Earth 2, because on Earth 2 he died.
Yeah. So he's here.
He's like, I'm alive.
Here's Alan Scott with his wife, Harlequin. And as we know, Alan Scott is gay.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that Harlequin is also gay and they're marrying each other to be each other's beards because this is possibly the 80s.
Yeah.
And you need some sort of safe cover.
Yeah. And I like though that this Harlequin outfit.
Oh my God. Just so bad, right?
Jesus Christ.
It's just like, imagine like somebody's kind of cool mom who really likes rockabilly decides to dress up like a clown. That's what this woman looks like.
This is if your daughter, so you have a kid. You're a teenager and you really like Harley Quinn. And your mom's like, I'm gonna dress like Harley Quinn too because I want to connect with my daughter. And then she goes to Party City and just buys this outfit.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm Harley Quinn. Look at me.
Yeah.
She's wearing literally a dunce cap.
Yeah, with like puffballs on it.
It's awful.
It's bad. And a tutu with like one of those like collars that you put on dogs that like walk on their hind legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how they're all talking about Batman here.
Yeah.
Or no, this is I think Brainwave is saying this because
he died 7 years ago.
It's like no problem for Brainwave. Yeah, because he's like, he died 7 years ago. It's like, what if Batman's like, I'm alive?
Well, apparently he's alive.
Yeah.
So Batgirl's there. We're just basically all these people talking, and then Fury?
Fury for some reason like
sees Diana.
No, first of all, she's looking at Batgirl, and she's like, frankly, love her, because she's her and Hector are an item. Yeah. And she's like, frankly, love her when I see some potential competition so much. So she's already like, she's like afraid that everybody's gonna like fuck her husband.
I don't think she needs to worry about that.
Like, why?
I don't think that they're there for that.
No, they're not, but for some reason, I feel like that's the thing she's kind of like. Like, she's looking at Babs here, and she's just kind of like, look at that broad.
Yeah. But, so is she an Amazon?
She's like, yeah, she's the daughter of Earth 2 Wonder Woman and Steve Trevor.
Yes, because, so she walks over, and she's like, oh my God, Mom. And she's like, wait, you're not Mom. You're the other one.
It's like, Mom. She's like, no, I'm like the other, I'm like, not your mom.
Oh yeah, but her husband is given the eye to Starfire.
Well, that's the thing. Later on, he does look at Starfire's ass, because everybody's just standing around, just milling about.
They, like literally, it's just so much milling about. There's this talking Plastic Man and
Elongated Man,
who are wearing the same colored outfit.
No, that was his night. That was his '80s outfit.
Oh, so they both were.
Yeah,
they
like, wore the blue and
see
whatever.
Each other.
Well, it's weird because you see like there's this
first
these panels.
See their hands. So. Is their hands are at the very top and they're coming towards each other. There's Nightwing is down here. We've got Fury, Flash, Jay Garrick, Flash, Wonder Woman, and they're talking about like, oh yeah, you know, I'm not her, but you know, it's okay if Flash goes between universes, so can we? We'll be okay. Blah blah blah. And then in the next panel, all those people are still talking, and above we have Plastic Man's head and Elongated Man's head. And they look at each other and they have those like, oh.
Ooh, stretchy man?
Recognition, like, what would you even call this? Recognition star?
Well, they just have like a, it's like a note. Just like, yeah, what, how do you describe that?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's like they see it and it's kind of like a burst.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, look at that.
But it has no words. It's just drawn like a little bursty.
Their friendship in these three panels is they're meeting and they're bonding because the next panel is them like looking towards the reader, but they're holding hands.
They've like joined hands like, yeah. And they're smiling and looking towards
the reader. And they form two boobs.
They do. Or an upside down heart.
Upside down heart.
But or two giant breasts.
Yeah.
Whichever one you prefer. So they have this nice little wordless friendship.
It's
probably honestly the most interesting thing that happens in these three panels.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's actually a lot. It's actually kind of nice, and it's like, you know, it's kind of fun that they did that. But and so then Hector sees his parents, and Hector's parents are those Earth 2 Hawkwoman and Hawk.
But it's not them.
Hawkman and Hawkwoman.
This is from Earth 1.
Are these the Earth One? No, these are his parents.
Oh, are they his parents?
Yes, because okay. These are
is this Bouncing Boy?
Yes. Oh. So these are
there's
the original Carter and whatever. Sure. Don't ask me to figure out all this Hawkman shit.
There's so much going on in these panels, you guys. It's just crazy. And then someone's like, "Oh, I smell cigarette smoke." And what's his face walks in?
Mr. Bones,
smoking.
Yeah.
Hanging out with...
He's hanging out with his group. So Mr. Bones has his group, Helix.
Who has like a Grinch dog.
Right. So they have a dog. This is his name. Oh, fuck. Whatever. I just remember. I just read their names.
I don't know.
This girl's named like something Kaboom.
Sure.
And because she's actually like a 20-year-old girl that just... Because all these groups, this group here, there's like Arak, who's not the son of thunder, but like an Indian, Native American looking dude.
Yeah.
That like can do things. And they got like this.
Isn't that Roulette over there?
No.
It's not. It looks like her.
It could be, but no, it's not. There's all these. I just read the update, but I forgot who they were.
She's kind of like the one, there was a Batman the Animated Series that had a girl.
Yeah, the doll.
That had the doll girl who, you know, was forever trapped looking like a 6-year-old child.
And that's basically what this is.
Yeah.
Like, she's an older woman, but she's trapped like this because basically
she has,
there's
Webster syndrome.
Yes, she's a, this is to do appeals to the Webster fans.
Yes.
Was it 86? Yeah, Webster is definitely on here.
Name for that syndrome. I don't know what it's called.
Angelman syndrome?
Is that what it's called?
Angelman, it's something like that.
Yeah.
And she's there, and so basically Helix was a bunch of like children who were born with some sort of powers or mutated because their mothers were experimented on while the kids were in the womb.
Okay.
And they came out, and so you have this girl that looks like a doll, and Mr. Skin, or Mr. Bones, who has invisible skin.
Oh, yeah.
But he's got like a cyanide touch, so he can kill you, and he smokes. And then you have these other dummies, and then you have this dog. I forgot what his name is. Critter.
Oh.
Critter. And
the dog that wears a tie.
Yeah, he's actually like a man evolved into a dog.
Okay.
If I saw this guy come, I'd be like,
basically a mutant.
Yeah, but it's like he's like the dumbest looking villain.
Mm-hmm.
So he just looks like
he really is dumb looking. He looks like the Grinch. He looks like somebody took the Grinch, made him into a dog.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
No, good point.
Yeah,
yeah. So basically, so
they just basically start fighting. They're like, no, we're all here because the worlds are colliding, and we have to be friends. And
yeah,
we basically have to. We have to work together to save ourselves.
Yeah, but like, you know, a lot of what's going on, I feel like...
There's so much going on. There's just so much. I could not keep any of it. I was like, and then this guy, but then there's all these characters, but then there's these characters. And Solomon Grundy eventually shows up to fight people.
For some reason, Arak just has...
Music around
him? He has headphones on and like...
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, because he's like listening to...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because then, like, his headphones explode. So yeah. I think it was this girl can make things explode with her mind.
Sure. The little girl. The one that looks like a doll.
And they're telling... And Mr. Bones is sitting there telling fucking jokes and shit. Or no, that's not her. He's not telling jokes.
Someone's telling jokes.
This girl's telling jokes. And then she gets zapped. And this is dumb.
It's just... Honestly, there was so much going on. I was just like, okay.
And they're like, look, we just stop fighting. Stop being dipshits.
I don't know. Arak does some sort of like weird twister thing.
Well, listening to, I'm assuming, Howard Jones or fucking Rick Astley, because it's 1986.
And Hawkman and Hawkwoman get caught up in it, and Wonder Woe has to save them.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman. So she does. There's like some jokes about Hawkwoman's costume.
Well, Hawkwoman's costume, it's...
Well, she says it's her old costume, and then she was squeezed into it, and she almost got knocked out of it when she got stuck in the tornado.
Yeah.
Jokes.
The Earth 2 costumes sometimes don't work for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird ones going on. There's Wildcats here. Wonder Girl is here. This is a new panel.
Well, okay, so...
There's some Green Lantern.
That's John... No, is it?
This chick.
So that's Johnny Thunder.
Wait,
so,
which one?
Johnny Thunder.
Which one's Johnny Thunder?
The girl.
Oh, Johnny Thunder.
She's Johnny with an I.
I'm talking about this. I was like, that's just Hal Jordan...
Is that John or is that Hal Jordan?
It's supposed to be Hal Jordan. Looks like he has hair.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. Ragman's here of all people. actually.
All sorts of fucking people are here.
You've got all the bunch of Legion members here. It's a party.
It is.
Yeah, and so basically, Johnny Thund, like, you know, Skyman or Star Spangled Kid. I'll just call him Skyman. Skyman's like, oh, look, are you Johnny Thunder?
Which we read something about her. Did we read?
We have a book for her, but we never read it.
Oh, I read it. We just didn't read it on the show.
Yeah, there's a female Johnny Thunder.
Yes.
Who somehow becomes involved with the Thunderbolt, or has some sort of connection to the powers of the Johnny Thunder. But basically, she's just like a Sybil Shepherd looking chick walking around in a suit and tie. It's kind of like your lady boss in Gotham.
I love a lady boss. Let me tell you, I love nothing more than a woman in a 3-piece suit. I think that's fucking cool. And if I didn't have tits, I wouldn't wear nothing but 3-piece suits.
Yeah.
It's going to look weird on me. Because I need a tailor, and it's going to cost a lot of money. But if you can wear them, I say wear them.
Yeah, she looks badass, though. Yeah, she's kind of cool. And she's just kind of, and Skyman's like, hey, look at that broad. Or not look at that broad, but he's like, hey, I think I know you. Hey, and she's like, I'm kind of like freaked out because I'm on this ship, and I don't know why. And he's like, oh, I get it. Maybe we should get some pizza. And he's like, and she's like, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Where are you going to go? It doesn't matter. Just walk away from this guy.
Skyman is just like talking to all the... Cause then he turns immediately to Donna Troy, who's standing right there, and he's like, oh, you're Wonder Girl. And he's like, oh, well, I've heard about you. Say, maybe we should get a taco. He's just going through all the... He's like, oh, let's go to Sbarro's. Let's go get some Orange Julius.
He's naming everything that's in the food court.
He's like, hey, let's go to...
Do you think there's a food court on this ship? Do you think there's a Sbarro's?
There might be a food court on
the ship. Orange Julius and a Panda Express.
I was going to say, I hope there's a Panda Express.
You think there's maybe a Paradise Bakery in there?
It's gotta be some froyo.
Gotta be a froyo.
Ooh, Cinnabon. Can you imagine? You imagine him?
No, it's not gonna be. It's there might be a Cinnabon, but there also might be a Dairy Queen.
Mmm. Well, if there's a Dairy Queen, you can also put an Orange Julius in there too.
There's probably, you know what else there probably is? There's probably like a Burger King.
Yeah, there's definitely either a Burger King or a McDonald's.
There's gotta be one. There's gotta be like one of those like local places, like local people.
Well, here's
like, set up like a kebab joint,
right?
Yeah.
And at best, you're getting a Tim Hortons in there. If not, you're getting a Glorious Coffee. No, don't.
Oh, yeah.
And you're,
yeah.
You're,
no, you're right. Or a Pete's, maybe?
Ugh.
That's
no.
What you find at malls.
Yeah, you don't want a Pete's.
I want to make sure it's a Starbucks or nothing, kids.
So, and for some reason, it just kind of.
Tim Hortons would be bad.
Yeah, Tim Hortons would be great. Maybe a Jack Astor. Oh, then go to Jack Astor's. Do you remember Jack Astor's?
Yeah, maybe they'll have one of those.
Oh, you go to Jack Astor's, and sometimes you go there, and they would.
Do you think they have a Johnny Rockets?
Definitely a Johnny Rockets.
I think they have to have a Johnny Rockets.
Do you ever go to Jack Astor's?
I don't think I ever went to a Jack.
Jack Astor's is one where it's like apparently you can go there and they can call you names. It's one of those restaurants.
There used to be, and I wish to God I can remember what this place was called. Round the Corner, maybe? I don't remember. But when I was a kid, there was this mall by our house, and in it was this kind of a diner type place.
Right.
And you could go in, and it just was like diner food. Like my sister and I always got the grilled cheese. My parents got a burger, whatever. But you ordered via the phone at your table.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember something like this?
I don't remember actually doing that, but I remember it. There was, I can have an idea of kind of what it's like.
It was called Round the Corner. It might have
There
been.
Was a place called Ground Round that we used to have in Buffalo.
I feel like it was called Round the Corner, and you would go, and it was always so exciting because you order through this red phone, and then sometimes they would call you back, or like it would go buzz buzz, and that meant your order was on the way.
Hot shit.
It was so great. And there was one that was still around when I was a teenager, and Kathy and I had to go to it so we could order.
Yeah.
Because it was so exciting.
No, it's good times.
And had greasy ass fucking food. It was great.
So yeah, so then he's going there, and also it kind of takes me off guard. For some reason, like Skyman has a bow tie on.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Like he's just wearing a bow tie, and normally he doesn't wear a bow tie.
Do you think maybe he put one on for the ladies?
Oh shoot, yeah, maybe he did. Maybe he's
he was like, oh, all the ladies. He's also holding like a cup of coffee, I think.
He probably got that from Gloria Ann's.
He probably did.
Yeah.
He's wearing his bow tie. Wonder Girl knocks it off.
Wonder Girl just kind of, she snaps it because he's like, hey, I heard.
That's right. It's like an elastic.
She's like, hey, so heard you might be kind of a babe. And she's like, well, I'm married. And he's like, well, sometimes you don't find out. And,
yeah.
And then he's like, oh, look, there's other people. And then
we see some of the metal men.
Well, the metal men are here. Like, we got
Wildcat.
Stripesy. You got Metamorpho. You got Cheetah. Here's yeah, you got Mercury from Metal Men. And so it's funny because then he's like, he sees Stripesy and he's like, hey, because that's like his partner.
Yeah.
Because the Star Spangled Kid was a teenage superhero and he had an adult sidekick. That was this guy.
What?
I'm not kidding. This is actually, this is where, how they, Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, is
this
that what happened?
This is
what
it adapted from this.
Oh, you're right.
It's
you're
adapted right. by
it. Well, it was best, adapted screenplay.
Yeah, they didn't say that in the, at the Oscars this year.
Yeah.
But they wanted to.
They're like, age difference is weird. Don't feel weird about it.
That would have been, if I was doing the monologue, that would have been one of my jokes.
No one would have laughed.
Oh.
You know what? There would have been like four nerds at home just giggling.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I would have popped those four people.
They'd have been so happy with that joke.
But yeah, so, but I like this picture where he's like trying, he sees his friends.
Like he's trying to dab.
It does look like he's, he's kind of waving his hands in the air like you just don't care.
Exactly what it looks like.
And like Donna Troy is like, whatever.
Yeah, he's just like, I've had enough of you.
So we get back to all the other goofs from the thing. We get back to the Green Lantern. And
that's when Solomon Grundy shows up. He's like, my Green Lantern is my enemy.
he just grabs me and goes, Green Lantern, my enemy.
And so now it is time to fight.
So
which, thank God, because we've just had like panels and panels of people just yabbing at each other. Which I don't think yabbing is a word. That's a yak and gab together. Yabbing. Hope you like that one.
Hashtag yabbing.
Hashtag yabbing. So they start fighting. There's, you know, they're like, oh.
They wrap him up in their green chains. And then finally, well, it's funny because they're like, look, we need to keep him, you know, we need to chill him out. Grundy's like, I'm not brainless. Heard little voice in my head telling Grundy not to fight. And more at stake than just revenge on Green Lantern. And they're like, what? And they're because Grundy listens to Grundy, not to Head. Yeah, you know, so.
And because basically what's happening is Harbinger, who I don't know if she's on the same ship as everybody else, I'm assuming.
No, they're all on the same ship. This is the Monitor's ship.
So I think she's telling him to stand down, right?
Yeah,
that's
I think
what's
so.
Happening. So then we see we've got Superman and Supergirl and Power Girl, and then I don't know who that is.
Firebrand.
And then we've got this guy crying.
Well, this so basically we catch up with the rest of what's going on in Crisis, and she's like, "Look, basically they explain what's going on. You got Alexander Luthor from Earth 3,
he's the only survivor of Earth 3.
Yeah, it looks like Danny Bonaducci.
He really does.
He's only this Luthor always bothers me. He just looks like
Danny Bonaducci is still alive.
Yeah, he's right here.
No, I mean like in addition to this comic book.
No, he's figuring. Yeah, he figured it out. He figured out life.
Yeah, that's good.
Figured out living.
Yeah, he was having problems.
He was having problems. I think he's
doing all right now. Didn't he have like he was on like a radio show?
He had a radio show for a long time.
Yeah,
and he would just
do like a morning shock jock or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. No, he had some stuff that he was doing. I mean, I'm assuming, and he did that celebrity wrestling. I think maybe.
Did he?
Yeah, with Hulk Hogan.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, Danny Bonaducci.
Mm.
Yeah, and then you got what's it, Pariah here, and Pariah. I love reading Crisis because Pariah just always shows like he's like this I don't know what he's basically he witnessed like the end of creation and he just keeps showing up in different parts of creation and yelling at people and everybody just goes and he's just like guys watch out. And it's basically like imagine the scene in Justice League where Flash is like yelling at Bruce Wayne while he's sleeping and just imagine that for like an entire issue of comics.
Mm.
That's what basically Pariah does. And pretty much.
I feel kind of bad for Pariah because he keeps like trying to tell people, like warn them and change the future and stop the horror. And everybody's like, meh.
Yeah, he's just got one thug tear going on here too. He's just like,
that's true. He kind of looks like Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne.
He's like the Indian watching the guy throw trash on the ground.
Who's Italian guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, they just explain like, look, you know, we gotta like save these universes because all of them are gonna be messed up and blah blah blah. So that's it for this.
Okay. So now we're out of that, and now we're in part two.
Now we're in Orangeburg, South Carolina, and because what's going?
Which Earth we're on?
No, we're on regular Earth.
Are we on Earth Prime?
We're on Earth Prime. What's happened?
One.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's been happening is, I'm fairly certain. Now I'm confused because basically, the Infinity Inc. are the kids of the Justice Society, and the Justice Society are not from.
They're Earth 2.
They're Earth 2.
Okay.
And
so we could be on Earth too.
We could be on Earth too. So that's why they kind of didn't know about some of these other people. So we could be on Earth too, but nonetheless, we're on Earth.
Right.
On an Earth. And basically what's been going on across throughout all these different Earths and all these different places is that there's all these weird temporal displacements happening, with regard to things popping up that shouldn't pop up. So, and particularly in this case, you know, we're in South Carolina, you know, in present day, and Hourman and
Dr. Midnight
are trying to figure it all out. Hourman, I don't know what's up with these boots and everything. He's got he's like Mickey James.
I was exactly going to say the same thing. It's like Mickey James and her love of bell bottoms.
Love of these bell bottoms.
He's got just bell bottoms just sewn on his pants, but they're also bell bottoms that have slits up the front of them.
Yeah.
So they look even dumber.
He's got the dumbest looking costume I think I've ever seen.
It's because purple and red, and he's got like vagina gloves.
Yeah, he's got slitted gloves, but he also has a big, basically is an H on his chest.
It's clock.
But in the middle of the clock, of the, where the dash of the H would be, is a clock.
Yeah.
And he's got this, you know, the spirit mask or whatever.
Yeah.
And
it's bad.
A domino mask, I'm sorry. And, yeah, it's just, you know, as opposed to Dr. Midnight's outfit, who, the lady Dr. Midnight has, I think I like her outfit a lot.
Yeah, but she also has the bell bottom pants.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure what's going on with these people.
She has some flappy gloves.
I think in their Earth, bell bottom pants never went out of style.
Maybe not.
Incorrect. But she looks fine. She's got like a moon on her thing. She's got kind of like a Cyclops visor going.
Look, there's some ads in here. You could see RC Cola, H&R Block.
Oh, hey.
You could do your taxes while the world is ending.
Well, I mean, you got to pay your taxes. It's got Al Capone.
It's right. Well, that and syphilis.
Oh, well, that. Yes. He didn't go to jail for syphilis, though.
Syphilis, go to jail. So basically,
yeah, there's just like fire.
So apparently they're all at Green Lantern's wedding reception.
Yeah.
And I guess they're all there in their costumes, and then they got,
because what else do you wear,
plucked into a different thing. And I do like this, you know, since it's Crisis on Infinite Earths, for some reason on this page only,
yeah, there's like Earths,
there's like all these different,
like like a bunch of marbles.
Yeah, because there's like all these Earths, like globe, you know, planet, Earth planets, like lined up, and then at the bottom they all just kind of pile up like a bunch of marbles.
Yeah, like a bunch of marbles. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. And so he's, for some reason, Hourman 2 sucks because he's like, hey, I'm going to use your real name in front of everybody. And she's like, dude, I grew up with these people, because she's from this area in South Carolina. She's like, shut up.
Yeah.
So, and he's like, well, look, here's some hand grenades that the Dr. Midnight would use. And, you know, because she could only see in the dark.
That's right.
That's her thing, is that she's like Dr. Midnight, you know, he can only see better in the dark.
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, she's like, okay, look. And as this is happening, there's a bunch of fucking cannonballs flying.
Yeah. And then there's also this like part in kind of like drawn over here. There's this like Dr. Midnight talking about doing something. There's like a bunch of pills surrounding one panel.
Yeah, which is weird.
Which is weird.
That's because Hourman has the drug Miraculo,
right?
And he just takes a bunch of pills. Yes. So basically, yeah, he's Hourman, just like all the, basically just like, yeah. That's something that's actually,
we read something with an Hourman who had.
Oh no, that was the JSA. Okay, you know what? So we have talked about him.
We have, because
you're right.
Remember they were in like New Orleans, and he like had to take the pill. And
that's right. Okay.
You're right. His dad showed up. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that's right. JSA. Yeah, so that we did do a JSA. So we have talked about him. Or was the JSA? Was it the JSA in Cobra?
It might have been. I don't remember. So
it was one of those things.
There was definitely Dr. Son of Hourman with the drugs.
It was one of, I think it was actually the one GSA, because they were in, okay, I remember now. But yeah, he does his drugs, and she has to see in the dark, and now they're trying to figure out, and there's fucking cannonballs flying around. And at one point, like, a cannonball just flies into, like, this power plant.
And just blows it up.
And he just, what happens is, Hourman.
Oh, it hits the fence.
No, it goes through the fence.
Yeah, well, it doesn't go all the way through.
Oh, it doesn't? Okay.
Yeah, see how it's still not all the way through? And that's when he rips through the rest of it.
He rips through the rest of it, and he grabs it and just lobs it towards where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And he just explodes everything. I'm surprised that the whatever... Don't cannonballs usually explode when they hit?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, maybe it depends on what kind of cannonball. Like, back in the day, they were just literal lumps.
Cannonballs are cool.
Yeah.
Because literally...
Day, like, back in the day when you were, like, you know, they were just literal lumps of iron.
Well, literal lumps of iron that you would either shoot at a boat... and they would just go through
forts or whatever.
But then this one actually has,
I'm sure,
like a fuse on it. Yeah. No way, it doesn't have a fuse.
I'm sure they can. I'm sure war. You know, we're so good at killing other people. I'm sure the technology has evolved that now they explode. And then because all this stuff is happening, a regiment of Confederate soldiers.
No, these aren't Confederate soldiers. These are Union soldiers.
Oh, they're
Because they start talking about how everybody's like, oh, you're Confederate spies.
Oh, that's right.
Blah, blah, blah.
They're in blue. So a regiment of Union troops finds them.
And they're super racist.
And they don't seem to understand that they're not in their own time.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't weird them out. There's a literal power plant and iron fencing and, like, all this sort of stuff. Plus people in costume.
Yeah.
They don't care. I don't know what happens here.
Well, basically what happens is...
she slaps one of them.
Well, cause
probably because he was being racist.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm saying they're being super racist and super creepy to her.
Yeah.
You know, because Dr. Midnight's a black lady.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, you must be Confederate spies and we're going to, you know, we need to corral you up and we're going to set up camp here. And, like, you know, and she's like, no, you're like, everybody, here. Like, you don't belong here. Like, you're not supposed to be
not
here.
Not only that, but don't you even notice that this isn't your time?
Yeah. They should be more terrified of everything.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're literally standing by a power plant.
Yeah.
That doesn't weird them out at all.
No. I don't think electricity had been invented yet.
No, it hadn't. And that's what I mean. Like, if you've never seen, you know, chain link fencing.
Yeah.
And a fucking power plant, because they don't exist in your time.
There's literally power, like, whatever the...
They're Transformers.
Transformers. Like, yeah, and there's
all these wires and stuff, and they don't even look at it. They don't even blink.
They're just like, oh, well, yeah, well, we just saw our general, you know, general yesterday, so we're going to continue on like this is. And like,
you guys should have figured this out by now.
And also, too, I mean, I know Dr. Midnight's at a disadvantage, and maybe, I guess, like, they're, what's his face, our man, like, because he has, like, he's good for an hour.
Uh-huh.
You figure he would just be able to, like, well, I'll just fucking waste these dudes because they all got, you know, guns and shit.
Yeah, make the most of your time, dude.
But just
like Viagra, that shit wears off.
I know, he doesn't do anything. And so, but they start being really, you know, uncomfortable or really, really shitty to Dr. Midnight. And she actually drops one of those Midnight bombs and ends up taking a bunch of them out. And as she's about to, you know, they're about to kind of get away from there, a fucking car shows up and they're like, a steel carriage, oh my god, and the sunlight, you know, the headlights blind Dr. Midnight,
right?
And then they knock her out, and then they
tie up our man.
They
go to the store, they're just like, look at all this stuff we found. And I'm like, you guys aren't weirded out by the fact that all this shit has like really colorful labels.
They found some vittles
and like weird cans and like things you guys have never seen in your life. You don't seem weirded out by that at all.
I am actually confused here because I didn't know, maybe they call these maybe they called them back then too, but one of these guys is trying to open up a bag of peanuts. Yes. And he calls them goobers. It's like, were goobers, were they called goobers back
they were just called peanuts, but I don't know.
Well, it literally says peanuts on there, but he's like, goobers. And I'm like, but goobers are covered in chocolate.
Well, maybe they were called goobers back then. Like, maybe that was a slang term for them. I don't know. They have, like, weird slang.
Old school goobers. So as he's fighting with the goobers,
helicopter shows up.
Yeah, helicopter shows up, and they're like, by God, a Confederate balloon.
Yeah.
I do like that. I was like,
I'm like, you guys really need to stop and think just for 2 seconds.
Oh my God.
Idiots. And I don't know.
Somehow they get away.
I don't know
how they get away, because like
our man breaks chains and shit. And they
well, no, here's the thing. Here's the thing. They get away and then they run into the woods and there's a cave there randomly because now they're in like there's more temporal displacement. So like, and Dr. Midnight's like, look, I grew up here. There should be no cave here.
Right. And then so that's when our man straps like breaks his chains and like.
Which why didn't you do that in the first place? Can't you just, if you're our man and you're full of strength and speed, just fucking whip these guys' asses.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing. And so there's like,
you're wasting. He's like, oh, well, now my time is up and I don't have any energy. It's like, well, you didn't do shit. You just waste all this time jerking off these guys.
Pretty much. And so then they're in the cave. The lights go out and the lizard guy shows up and he eats all the confetti.
The lizard guy?
The lizard. He shows up and he eats all the soldiers.
Yeah.
Which, that's kind
of
great.
We get a bunch of panels where there's just splotches
of red.
There's actually, like, this one where it's just a mess of red and there's
just some dripping.
It's just dripping.
Yeah.
It's like,
and I'm also kind of like, you know, you guys kind of, again, deserved it for having such poor observational skills that you could not put it together that you were no longer in your own time.
Yeah.
You guys suck.
Yeah, so kicks
they
his
all,
ass.
They all died. So now it is time for Dr. Midnight and Hourman.
Dinosaur fight.
To fight a dinosaur, basically.
Hell
so
yeah.
So they do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They fight a thing and... Oh, because the Confederate guys were like, we found this fancy explosion. It's explosive. It's liquid explosive.
Yeah.
They're like, we found this fancy dynamite.
For some reason, which is in this prehistoric cave.
Yeah, we brought it with us, whatever.
Well, that's it.
And then it explodes.
Yeah, basically, like, Dr. Midnight, like, holds off on this for a minute, you know, holds off on the fight, you know, tries to hold it off while Dr. Midnight takes a bayonet and just
stabs it
and it explodes. And apparently she was convinced that the carcass was going to shield them from the explosion.
Mm.
And they are not covered entirely in dinosaur guts.
Right? They should be.
They should be.
It should be really gross.
It should be a fucking...
It should be like Carrie. They should be walking around like Carrie right now.
I am disappointed, Todd McFarlane. You didn't draw that right. And then they just...
walk away.
They walk away. And that's it. And then next issue, it's Frenzied and Fethera. Fethera. I don't know how you say that.
Sure, whatever.
And that's it for the story. I do want to point out, we have a nice little... I like we get these calendars for DC Comics from 1986. But for some reason, they're fashioned like, so you have like a drawing of like a character in some of these, and they're saying, there's a speech bubble and they're saying the month.
Yeah, it's kind
of
weird.
So like you got like Donna Troy is like a picture of the Titans.
She's saying January.
And she's like, January, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, yeah, it's silly.
It's a little weird. It's
silly. And then we, we're not quite done yet, though. We have a splash pinup page for Nuklon.
Yeah.
He is.
The name is Nuklon. We have some vital stats.
We get a vital stat, so we get, like, his information here.
Given name.
His birthday is on October 12th.
Oh, hey.
Talks about his parents, high school organizations, basketball team.
Yeah.
Future engineers. Ford Car Club, Aces Flying High Club.
Oh, man.
And then employment background, various summer and part-time jobs at auto local repair shops.
Yeah, he's really into machines.
He can change your oil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. I need someone to come turn that stupid thing off because the fucking mechanic forgot to.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of frustrating.
You know, when you get your oil changed and they forget to reset the thing that tells you when to get your oil changed.
Yeah.
Mine came on like... 4 days after I got my
own. Well, Nuklon can fix this.
Yep. Instead of me having to go back and be like, hey, motherfuckers, can you please fix this for me? Because I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stated ambitions to design, build, and fly own aircraft to spend several months every year in a cabin in the Rockies.
Mm.
So he wants to go hang out by you and your family. Yeah. And so basically we get his special powers. Basically he's was exposed to radiation when he was... From birth.
Yeah.
And
it also says...
Because his father is...
Personal style icon, Sheamus, WWE
superstar. Oh, it does, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Sheamus, who was very young at this time, but he, since, you know, we're talking about DC, he probably went into the future and witnessed Sheamus.
Well, this is all the universes were coming together.
Oh, so all future Sheamus was there?
Yeah.
We didn't see him on that ship, but yeah.
No, and a light hit him and it was blinding.
Oh, that's right.
That's why you don't ever actually see him.
Dr. Midnight would not fare well against Sheamus.
No. Sheamus, I appreciate Sheamus because it's nice to see someone as pale as me.
Yeah. He's really pale.
He's really pale. It would be like, and when light hits him, it's blinding. And I'm like, that's like me in the sun.
Yeah.
It's just so nice to see someone else.
Yeah, no.
Rocking that level of pale.
I'm surprised. I mean, I know he's been on Conan a bunch of times, but I'm surprised that Conan has never made that much of a bigger deal of his paleness.
I think they do when he is on Conan.
Probably when he's on. Maybe I don't see
him. Because he's Irish and redheaded and pale.
He's pretty well over with them. He's Sheamus is actually quite the entertaining fellow.
He's pretty funny.
He's a pretty funny guy, just a good dude. And I think I would much rather, if they ever do an Infinity Inc. movie, I'd like to see him play Nuklon.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to look for it.
I'd like to see them. Let's do it.
Sure.
We can
because, I mean,
make that
people are just clamoring for an Infinity Inc. movie.
God damn it, I am. I want Obsidian.
I don't mind seeing these characters. It's just this particular book, there's so much going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
And it's one of those, like, we got to talk a lot. There's a lot of characters milling about.
Yep.
And it gets very tedious very quickly.
And then we get to our letters page.
Which is just fuck this book over and over again.
Yeah, just fuck. It's, no, it's actually...
Dear people, fuck your book.
It's Infinity Ink, but ink is spelled I-N-K.
Oh man, so many jokes.
I don't know if I like that.
Yeah. I also don't like this big white space they left here.
You could have put something in here.
Could have put something, just a little box.
Put an ad in here.
Yeah.
Put a little fucking picture of Superman. Be like, hey.
Something.
Hi, guys.
Expand this. Take this. Expand that. That's how you do that.
Yeah. Maybe put a small letter in there that says, fuck this book.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Picture of me with my middle fingers up.
It's just a picture of John. That's it for this book. This is for this Infinity Inc. number 22 from January 1986. I think you've already said it, but nope. You're not going to read the next issue.
No.
I am not going to read the next issue of this particular series. I might find another issue of Infinity Inc. to enjoy, but
maybe if it wasn't the Crisis crossover.
Yeah, I know, Crisis.
So many characters, because I hate that when there's so many characters that I'm just like, wait, what? And then it stops in the middle, and now we have another story. I just don't.
I did like Plastic Man and Elongated Man.
I did
meeting
enjoy
up.
That. That was my favorite part of this book.
That was kind
of
fun. I kind of want to know more about that.
Yeah, I like that.
I want to see what they were doing in Crisis. Just kind of be like, hey, let's get stretchy.
Yeah, really.
Let's get just stretchy. Being
like, you know what? We're friends. We're going to get stretchy together. We're going to embrace our truth as stretchy men.
Let's make a net and jump on somebody.
We're going to have a club.
Stretchy club? Oh, that'd be a great book.
Yeah.
DC Comics
present. Come join us.
Oh, man. You get
Stretch Armstrong.
See,
to come
too bad they couldn't make that in the 90s. It could have Extreme Gumby.
Yeah.
And kids would buy. I'd buy that.
I mean, who wouldn't buy a Gumby holding like a fucking gun with pouches all over it?
Oh, it'd be a gun made out of his own Gumby.
Oh. Ew, what does it shoot?
I don't know. That, whatever that dog is that he had friends with.
It's a horse. It's Pokey.
Is he who shoot Pokey at him?
Dog.
I'm thinking about Davy and Goliath.
Oh.
I thought that was the...
In fairness, it's kind of hard to tell that Pokey is a horse.
Pokey. That's
Pokey.
Right.
Pokey.
Who were Gumby's villains? Did Gumby have any villains?
Hands.
Feet.
Anything that
shoes.
They could spash clay.
Tires.
Spatulas.
Ooh, that actually that would be a good
bowling pins.
Good crossover would be like Gumby versus that tire from the movie Rubber.
Shit, I forgot just about the movie Rubber.
Just a movie about a fucking tire.
That was a movie.
Yeah, we watched that movie.
We sure did, because I mean, it's a movie about a tire that's out for revenge, I believe.
Yes.
It kills many people. It just rolls.
Yes.
And that's all it does.
But Gumby needs to fight it. But we need 90s Gumby. We need extreme 90s Gumby.
Does he have a mullet?
Yes.
Okay.
He has a mullet made out of Gumby hair.
Yeah.
Just an extension. He just kind of fashions it. And but he hangs out. But then, like, he can join Stretchy Club with
Elongated Man
and Plastic Man.
And Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong. If we're sticking in a DC where he can get some of the metal men in there. They stretchy.
Hey, you know who else he could hang out with? You know when you used to get cereal that had those octopus things in the cereal and you'd throw them and they'd stick to the walls?
What were they called?
Sticky octopus things?
Yes.
They stretch.
Special issue focusing on sticky octopus things.
I don't.
You find a cereal.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Used to climb down walls. Man, my mom used to hate those things.
I don't like those things.
I don't know why my mom hated them.
Because they're fun.
Well, yes. A, yes. B, because if you threw them up too high and then they'd climb down your wall, my mom swears up and down she could see the sticky on her
I could
wall.
See. No, I could see
and
that.
She couldn't get up there because our ceilings were too high.
Yeah, no, I could
so
see that.
So if we threw them too high, she'd be so mad.
No, I could see that.
Yeah.
I could think she's probably right about that because that stuff so sends her gross.
Don't encourage her.
I can still see it, Jennifer. I can still see the sticky.
I'm surprised she hasn't told you about the time she had to paint the walls because I painted my nails and I shook it when it wasn't dry and I got nail polish on it.
She had to paint the wall, like the entire house?
No, just where we sit at the table.
Okay.
She swears up and down I got nail polish on the thing. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But she said she had to put, first she did wallpaper to cover my thing. And then now she's had to paint it.
Oh.
And she blames me. She probably just wanted to paint it.
Yeah.
And needed an excuse.
Yeah, she just wanted to pin it on you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. That sounds right.
But yeah, no, that'd be actually stretchy game crew? Game? Stretchy group?
Stretchy.
What do we call it now?
Oh, I don't know if we had a name for it. It was just their like their little stretchy gang or club.
Stretchy club. That's stretchy club. That's right. See, I'd rather read stretchy club than Infinity Inc.
Yeah, that's great. Anybody who can stretch.
Do we get the Marvel Universe involved too?
Why not?
Who stretches there? Mr. Fantastic.
Stretchy guy. He can hang out. I don't know if anybody wants to hang out with him, though. He's kind of a
I don't like it. Yeah, as far as stretchy guys go.
They can figure out if they want to let him in. But he is a stretchy guy. Yeah. Yeah. So anybody can stretch.
Oh, they can all form into one big ball and throw themselves at people?
Oh, man. One big parachute.
But then make sure they keep their heads tucked because I don't want to break their necks.
Oh, yeah. Can you break their
necks? They're all talking to each other inside the ball. It's like, hey, how's it going?
Can they break their necks?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because, I mean, I've seen many things like elongated man getting his head stuck in a door.
Well, we had that.
Like
we read
neck getting shut in a door.
We read that one Marvel, that one, was it the fucking Brave and the Bold where that guy was trying to hang him.
Yeah.
Just hanging his stretchy neck.
Yeah. So gross.
Oh, boy.
Gross.
Yeah, stretchy gang. Stretchy, whatever.
Stretch club. Yeah.
Stretchy club. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I'm not going to read the next one of these.
Do you think stretch club has like one misguided old lady who just thinks it's literally for like stretching?
Oh yeah. She's probably, have some
like,
woman
I'm
that just
trying to get physical activities.
She just has a mat, like a yoga mat. And she's just like,
trying to stretch and they're like, but they don't have the heart to kick her out. Cause she's so sweet. And she always makes like homemade granola bars.
Yeah. I know. She makes snacks for stretchy club.
Yeah. So just, they're like, just it's fine. Just keep her in.
She lets them hang out in her basement. That's where they meet.
Yeah.
She pays the rent.
Maybe on her lanai.
Oh, yeah, lanai. Oh, yeah. Maybe it's not a girl and girls. Maybe it's Dorothy Zabornak.
No, she wouldn't tolerate that.
Oh, yeah, she would.
It's got to be Rose.
Yeah, Rose is a part of Stretchy Club. Yeah. I like where we're going with this. I like how we're bringing all these properties together. We're really good at that.
We are. We're very good.
We're really good at bringing all the properties together.
Where's my Oscar?
Yeah, where is our Oscar? Where's my goddamn Oscar?
Where's my goddamn Oscar?
Where's my goddamn Oscar for Stretchy Club starring Betty White?
Do it, or she's gonna get Farina'd at the Oscars.
Well, she don't know if she does do it. She
Farina Betty White.
But which, by the way, let's explain. Being Farina'd means you get left out of the in memoriam. Because Dennis Farina, I think, it was last year, a couple years ago, he got left out of the in memoriam.
So apparently, they forgot Adam West this year.
They did.
There's a whole bunch.
They forgot Adam West. They forgot Chris Cornell. As far as I'm concerned, and he was in singles. You have to make
Damn
sure that
Chris Cornell deserved to be in that montage because he was in singles.
They put in Chuck Berry. Chris Cornell was important to Chuck Berry. As far as I'm concerned,
I would agree.
He contributed just as much to American music.
Yeah, he's been on soundtracks.
He has been on soundtracks. So, he was on the Great Expectations soundtrack.
So what the hell?
And he was in Singles.
He had a
critical role in Singles as a guy that lived in Matt Dillon's building.
And he didn't say anything.
Did he not? No, I think he did.
He might have said like a couple words, but he really just was kind of standing around with all that hair.
Oh yeah, no, he looked
so good.
He looked great in that movie.
He really did. He was such
God
a
damn.
Handsome
I was
man.
I was so jealous of that movie. I was like, man, I want to live in that movie.
Yeah.
I want to live in an apartment building.
If we could go back to when that movie was filmed,
I want
to fucking buy real estate.
Yeah, I want to go back and live in like that building.
Yeah,
and they could be like rehearsing and shit. It's like, yeah, but that's fucking grunge. It's awesome.
Yeah,
and they go.
They'd be like, hey, you want to come see early Pearl Jam?
Hey man, we're gonna go down there and jam. We're gonna do
Kurt
some jam.
Cobain's still alive. You want to check this out?
Hey, look, there he is.
Still alive.
He's like, hello.
Haven't done it yet.
So nope.
Not today.
Hey guys, doing all right. Kurt Cobain.
I love cardigans.
Hey, I'm wearing a cardigan. No blood on it.
Oh, God. Oh, no. That's pretty dark.
Yeah, well, hey, we're talking about In Memoriam. That's what you.
Where's my Oscar?
where's our Oscar? Where's our Oscar about the early days of the grunge scene story called Stretchy Gang.
It's called Early Days of the Grunge Scene, : Jed and Sean Buy Property.
Jed and Sean own an apartment. Own a condo.
We own a condo.
In Seattle.
Where you could actually afford to buy shit back then.
Where Matt Dillon lives.
With his weird face.
With his weird chin beard. Yeah, so I guess that's it for this week's show.
People actually call each other on the phone in that fucking movie.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, you want to tie it into comic books?
Yeah.
Victor Garber's in that movie. Who plays Martin Stein in Legends of Tomorrow.
He sure does.
So Firestorm is in Singles.
Oh, shit.
So let's say we're keeping it relevant.
We are keeping it relevant.
So we're
like we always do.
Like we do. We planned this. So that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Hero Sean, as well as you can check out my other podcast, I Could Talk Kayfabe with Joe Todaro. You can find that on Apple Podcasts and everywhere you get your podcasts.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. Find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. Email us at Gmail, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
Yeah, please rate, review, subscribe. Leave us 5 stars if you think we deserve it. We can always use more ratings, more interaction. That would be really dope. So we really appreciate that. Anything else we want to cover? I feel like we're missing something.
We got it.
All right. Well, if that's it, we'll see you guys again next week.
Bye.